from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Now, what I'm going to say right now might get me into some trouble.
Hold on. Here's my hottest take of all time. No one's going to complain about the sun at night.
I feel like at this point, if I have the quarter, it's a net loss for me. Like, it's going to be in a spot that it's just going to sit there forever.
Why are you the way that you are?
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Guess what? The spider is back. Spider's back on the car. Went through the car wash yesterday. Web destroyed. Figured he was gone. This morning, no. Walk out to my car. Bam, there it is.
Well, there's your problem. You figured he was gone.
I mean, you'd think after the third time, he'd go, you know, I'm sick of rebuilding this freaking web every other day. I mean, let me go find a tree to build it in instead. Let me go find a light on the side of a house to go do it on instead. Nope. This is the most stubborn spider you've ever seen in your life. It will not leave my driver's side mirror. So what do I do? Do I just kill it? I don't know where it is. It's like under the mirror. Driving down the throughway doesn't get rid of it, so the spider's back. I'm gonna have to name it.
All you have is the web. You haven't seen the spider.
I've seen the spider when I was driving, actually, maybe like a week ago. So I've seen it one time. I know it exists. I saw it crawl under the mirror. So it's living under that mirror back there that you can kind of move back and forth. I tried that, by the way. It didn't come out. So I've got a spider problem on my car. But there should be an easy way to fix this, I'm sure. The next time you see it, just grab a napkin.
And yeah,
it feels like it. But what am I supposed to do when I'm driving? When I'm driving, grab a napkin and then roll down the window and
probably
then try
not
to grab it. That seems unsafe.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, last day until training camp. St. John Fisher tomorrow. One last preview before we see the Bills on the field. Although we will be talking to you tomorrow on the air before the Bills have also taken the field, but we'll at least be on the scene. And yeah, we'll have some stuff live from St. John Fisher tomorrow, 6 a.m., of course, here on WGR, so that'll be fun. We got Aaron Schatz coming up a little bit later on in the show. That'll be fun, 9 o'clock, Aaron Schatz on his almanac that came out and where he sees the Bills. I have not seen where Aaron Schatz has the Bills. I might want to guess he has them higher than we think. By DVOA, Allen being so important to where teams lie in that, quarterback being so important. I want to guess the Bills are a little bit better off on that than we think. Last night, where I want to start, though. So I'm kind of surprised this didn't come out a little bit earlier in July, because the NFL is the machine that knows exactly when to put all its content out. Right, the combine is right when nothing else is going on, so that people pay attention to it. And the draft is smack dab in the middle of April, right? Free agency before that in March. Like, they spread it out pretty well. And here come training camps. Last night, the beginning of the famed NFL Top 100 list. Once a year, we all overreact to something that's pretty meaningless, right? Would you say the NFL Top 100 is pretty meaningless?
Yes, yes.
Even though it's voted on by the players. Also weird, they only vote in the top 25. Do you know that?
Yeah.
The players vote in the top 25, but then the list is 100?
I'm sure it would be really difficult to...
have them remember 100 players?
Yeah, and find consensus.
Okay.
Like, we do a top 10 players for the future of the Bills every year. It's an exercise that Joe Marino does.
Okay.
And you have, like, I think you get 10 guys. Well, I think it's more like 15 do the thing, and then there's some different stuff that you write about it. But, like, you know, I'll make a list of 10 players, and then everyone makes a list of 10 players, and then, you know, they take the average.
And then there's an average.
There's an average.
Yeah.
So, like, that's easy to do with 10 players and 10 people, but if you're going to, you know, you're just going to get such wild, like, seeing some of the lists from the players, like, there was four of them leaked, and they were... Like, one had Josh Allen 8th, another one didn't have Josh Allen at all, had Jared Goff 5th.
Just wild all over the place.
I get it. It's like good, like, lead up to the season content. But it's not, I mean, Mac Jones was in it 2 years ago.
Okay, so that, right. He just squeaked in a couple years ago. There, I mean, Carson, I think 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Carson Wentz was number 2. Or number 3?
Yep.
They're trying, right, I don't know how successful they are in doing it, but they're trying to capture what the players think. Who do the players think are the best players in the league? So, last night is the first installation. Did you see it, by the way?
I saw number 96.
Okay, so you know who the Bill is that's on the list. How many, before we tell everybody who was on it, if you missed it, how many Bills would you have guessed beforehand were going to make the list?
When I saw it, I then immediately, my first thought was, how many more other than Josh Allen will be on this list?
Mm-hmm. 96 was Deion Dawkins. Deion Dawkins, I think first time in his career that he made the NFL Top 100 list. Deion Dawkins after, I mean, wasn't last year undoubtedly his best season as a pro?
Yes.
It felt like he was a monster last season. Dawkins was in the write-up at NFL.com about him being 96th overall best player in the league. Dawkins, fourth highest pass block win rate last season, allowed only a 6% pressure rate, which was the third lowest among left tackles via Next Gen Stat. He was unbelievable, I thought, last season as a left tackle. Earned every dollar of his extension. So Dawkins at 96. Yeah, how many more?
I think Ed Oliver will sneak in somewhere in the 80s.
Okay. I might want to predict he doesn't, but I could see it. It feels like he would, if he's not in the 80s, I bet he won't be on the list. Because I don't think they're going to put him much higher than that.
I agree with that.
Milano?
Milano.
So, but Milano is coming off an injury, and this list will often really knock you down with injuries, but all the other lists that people are putting out there, the ESPN one we've talked about in recent weeks, where the scouts and the
I think he's on the list.
Okay, so Milano would be on the list, and Allen, and is that it?
I don't think Kincaid's on there yet.
No, not after 1 year.
I don't think Kincaid's on there yet.
Not after 1 year, no. That didn't even crack 700 yards. Like, I don't think so.
I don't think the league knows about Terrell Bernard yet.
Uh-huh.
He'll be on this list next year.
I bet
Rasul Douglas?
I feel like he should be on the list, and I bet you he won't be. Last year, there were 5 Bills on the list. Allen was number 8. Diggs was number 16. Jordan Poyer was number 57. Poyer was coming off an incredible season. Remember, he was playing banged up and great, and Hyde was out for the year. So Poyer was 57. Milano was number 69. So I think Milano might be, with the injury, have to be in like the 80s for him to see it. But I might want to predict he isn't on the list either. One other bill that I want to float your way that I think could be on this list. Last year, there were 9 running backs on the NFL Top 100 list. Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Tony Pollard, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook, and Jamal Williams.
So it's possible
Jamal
James Cook's
Williams,
there.
By the way, was on the NFL Top 100 list. He had 15 touchdowns. They're all from 1 yard out. Okay, sure. So all of those running backs made the list. I mean, if we're going to see something similar, isn't James Cook going to be one of the 9 or 10 running backs that makes the list?
Maybe. Yeah.
He was 4th in yards last year. He doesn't really score touchdowns. He had some drops that were pretty memorable for us. I don't know how memorable it is for the league.
I think the better exercise here, Joe, is to predict which players this year that aren't on it for the Bills will be on it next year. Because I think right now, isn't this part of the conversation about the Bills nationally, which is that they're a team that is largely in transition and doesn't have the same, maybe not superstar power, but star power that it's had in the years past, in at least the last couple of seasons, in Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and Tre'Davious White.
Yep.
I mean, these are all players that had been on the NFL Top 100. And I think this year, there's a lot of questions about some of these positions, the guys taking their place. Like, I think, you know, James Cook has another season. If he's not on it this year, he'll be on it next year. Khalil Shakir? Could he have a big enough season?
I think how big a year would he have?
Dalton Kincaid's going to be on it next year.
How big a year?
You know,
Dalton Kincaid will be on it.
Yes.
So the only thing about that is he's going to have, I mean,
tight end one season. He's going to have a Travis Kelce level season.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there were 3 tight ends that made the list last year. There wasn't one in the first 10 names that were dropped yesterday. But that's what we're hoping for, isn't it? We're hoping for that tight end 1, 2, 3 season.
Do you see, because obviously the guy that he got compared to the most, by the way, was Travis Kelce coming out.
How fair was that?
Not fair at all. It's like Ed Oliver getting the Aaron Donald.
Even for his style, though. Is that what he is? Kelce is,
I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Kelce is,
I get it,
a force physically along with his route running. Like, maybe this is part, though, because Kelce is, you know, 34 and Kincaid is, well, Kincaid's a little 24? Older for a rookie. He's 24. Yeah. But still, what was Kelce early on? Was he like that early where you just couldn't get around him? Because Kincaid isn't like beefy, you know what I mean? Like, he's a tight end, he's big, he's tall, but he's not Mark Andrews, Gronk especially. He's not out there being this physical force that you're afraid of when he's barreling down at you, you know, 20 yards away. So I don't know. Like, Kelce, even as the style of tight end, I feel like he's been more of a Zach Ertz type with a little bit more, maybe even a lot more
juice.
A juice down
Dallas
the field,
Goddard.
Up the seam.
Basically just Dallas Goddard.
Kind of. Maybe that's not bad for it. The Kelce comparison, though, is just always going to be unfair.
It's going to be hard. Because I think most of us would agree Kelsey's the best tight end ever.
Yeah. But anyways, to your question, like, I think Terrell Bernard has a chance of being on the list next year if he has another year like he just did.
You know who else I think should be on this, might be on this list?
Who?
Osiris Torrance. He runs back a season like he had last year.
Yeah.
Where he is one of the, it's tough because guards probably don't get a lot of love.
I know. Offensive linemen in general. Look how long it takes you to establish name power.
Yeah.
Deion Dawkins just got on the list.
Yeah, right.
But and he's been in the league for 7 years, 8 years.
He did have his best season.
He did have his best season, but still, he's been in the league. He needed some name power, it felt like, along the way to build into it. Like, he had made the Pro Bowl before.
What kind of season does Keon Coleman have to be on here?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He needs to have 1,000 yards as a rookie.
Okay. I probably agree
or
with that.
Or maybe just a little less than 1,000 yards, but like 14 touchdowns.
Ooh, okay. Like a big touchdown
season. Huge touchdown season. I mean, I just pointed out, I know it's running back, but Jamal Williams made this list, and it was only just because he scored a bunch of touchdowns from the 1 yard line.
How many practices did you watch last year? Like, did you actually get to sit there and watch? I know, like, some of them you missed the beginning of because you're on air.
Yeah. I watched probably at least parts. Like a dozen practice. I got to see a lot.
Do you at all recall, and I think I saw three last year, so mind the ignorance on if I missed parts of this where this wasn't the case, but the one thing, and maybe this is just because of the fan chatter about the guy, mm-hmm. was Justin Shorter last year. You know, like when I went out in the field and, you know, like the beginning parts of practice, you get to see guys warming up. They're going through like your standard drills. The wide receivers are getting thrown at. They're running towards the ball, doing the jugs machine, whatever. And he was a physical specimen. I mean, he stood out to me when I saw him. I mean, he's like 6'4 and like lanky and a big guy.
He's kind of... You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of the Metcalf workout picture.
He reminds me of AJ Green a little bit. A thicker AJ Green.
He's tall and he's... It would be... Right. And maybe this is what has... There's kind of a Justin Shorter hive out there still that I think is just waiting for one viral catch at training camp to just go, all right, here we go, fifth round, let's do it. And I wonder how much of it is based in, oh, he's really tall and muscular. You know what I mean?
Like yes.
If you lined up the Bills receivers next to each other, he looks like he would. If you didn't know anything about any of them, you might guess Justin Shorter is the best of them because he just looks athletic.
Correct.
He's tall. He's muscular. I think he's fast out there too. I don't remember if I noticed his speed jumping off the page. But he's not the best receiver out there.
And then I watched him line up in 1v1s. And then in, you know, 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 and get absolutely bullied by DeMarcus Ingram. Absolutely bullied off the line of scrimmage. For how big he was not really, he wasn't, talk about separation, he was not separating at the line of scrimmage at all. And on top of that, when he was getting in press man situations, he was getting uncharacteristically, a guy that you look at and say, that guy is going to dominate at the line of scrimmage, he didn't. And I guess where I'm going with that is that's probably the thing I'm going to watch for the most with Keon Coleman, is how does he fare early in training camp in the one-on-one situations? And I'm going to look at a guy like Kyer Elam, who's the team's best cover corner. He's their best press man corner. That's where he comes from in college. Mm-hmm. And I think like that's a guy I'm looking at and saying, you know, could that be the matchup you watch during training camp? Is Keon Coleman versus Kyer Elam? Because I'm not sure Coleman's going to start with the ones, which means he could get a lot of burn with the twos, and the twos, you're going to see him against Kyer Elam.
We see that too, because they're both also, just for the sideshow entertainment part of it, I think those two might be the biggest talkers on the team.
Yes. Well, I don't know if Coleman's
Elam got
a talker
into a
Diggs
a few times last year. Not anything mean spirited, like just like trash talk. But
I know Coleman's a talker off the. I'm not sure how big of a talker on the field he is.
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know.
And I wonder, as a rookie, like how much.
He seems too nice to be a trash talker on the field, by the way.
And as a rookie, like, wide receiver and corner, to me, they're the two trash-talking positions.
Sure.
That goes to, like, any level of the sport. Like, at least for me, it's the wide receivers and corners. They're the, you know, the divas and the, you know, the talkers. Mm-hmm. So, as a rookie, is he gonna be a talker? I don't know. Especially in practice. I know some people didn't like it. I know probably the same people ask every year why the Bills aren't in joint practices. The Bills going and getting the Steelers in joint practice, I actually like a little, because I don't think the Bills starters, I don't think Josh Allen's going to play a lot in preseason. Mm-hmm. And I think it gives them a practice to go up against a good defense and actually see what, you know, some of the things out of your office. Because, like, T.J. Watt could just ruin your practice day. He could just... Yeah. Bills don't really have that guy on defense where it's like, oh, well, we were trying to have a productive practice on offense, and we can't because this guy's blowing up the line of scrimmage and blowing up everything we do.
Well, that's, you know, where I was going with the next guy that I could see being on the NFL top 100 list next
Spencer
year.
Spencer Brown? Or you say Greg Rousseau?
I think Greg Rousseau, if he were to have a big sack year. And... that is very possible to me, because his pressure numbers last year, like win rate percentages, and really even just if you want to go with the volume of pressures he had, didn't really line up with how many sacks he had. Like, you might expect a double-digit sack season with the numbers he had last year, and I feel like there could be a 12, 13, 14 sack season in there for Rousseau if he were to even have similar type of pressure numbers. So Rousseau would be possible for that. I think Christian Benford is not going to get, like, he might need years and years of playing at the level he did last year before he would ever get. Taron Johnson, right? Like, nickel corners don't really make this list very often.
Taron Johnson might be a name to think about on this list.
You think they'll give the position the respect it deserves?
I don't know that they'll give the position, but I think Trent McDuffie's going to be on the list. And if Trent McDuffie's on the list, I think it's possible that you also see Taron Johnson, because I think Taron Johnson's the second best slot corner. I think if you're the top three in slot corners, you're probably going to make this list. And I would put him there. I think largely he is viewed as that.
Okay. The thing I really wanted to get to from the NFL top 100 list last night, the first 10 names, 91 through 100. There's Aaron Rodgers at 92.
Mm.
Didn't fall out of the list. Torn Achilles, played 4 snaps. As we discussed yesterday, somehow got credit for the win.
Yep, somehow.
Somehow got credit for it. And Rodgers makes the list at number 92. I immediately on social media started going, you know, on the memory lane a little bit here. Let's just explore Rodgers, who didn't play last year. And, okay, the players think he's still one of the 100 best players in the league. Just barely, but they still think that. Rodgers... I don't know that fans know, or maybe Jets fans know, Bills fans know, any football fans know just how pedestrian he was the last time he played. It almost feels like, you tell me if I'm wrong, Nate, that everyone's walking around as if Rodgers missed last year and he won back-to-back MVPs right
the year
before.
Yeah.
That's kind of how everybody is carrying themselves when talking about Rodgers, when thinking about Rodgers, as though he won the MVPs, then he went to the Jets.
Yep.
And that is not what happened. That is not what happened.
I do want
Aaron Rodgers. Go ahead before I get rolling on this.
Listen, he did have a difficult injury, like that he was playing through a thumb injury on his throwing hand.
There was a thumb injury. That's
right.
Yep.
So a little bit of that should at least be mentioned. But
yep, that's fair.
27th in QBR, 17th in passer rating.
Yeah.
Those are...
He had a lower QBR the last season he played than Matt Ryan on the Colts.
Yes. And if I might say, if you remember the final game, they played Detroit.
Yeah, for the playoffs, right?
And they win, they're in.
And that, by the way, like the thumb injury, he was definitely, I won't doubt, was dealing with that for a giant chunk of that season. But like the end of that year was like 10 weeks removed, I think, from when he had a thumb injury. Someone correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think that's right. Yeah, that final year with Green Bay, they lose. Was it at Lambeau, too, that they lost to Detroit?
I'm looking at it right now. It was in Lambeau.
Okay.
And Rodgers was 17 of 27 for 205, one touchdown, one interception.
That's not what you want from a winner-go-home game at home against a division foe. And that was kind of his season. He had, I was kind of surprised to find this, he didn't have a single 300-yard passing game that whole year.
Yeah.
In fact, if you go back, you have to go back to the previous season, so 2021 we're into now, to go find the last time Aaron Rodgers threw for 300 yards in a game. That same week he threw for 300 yards in a game, the last time Ben Roethlisberger did it. Ben Roethlisberger's been retired for two full seasons.
And how about this? So they
Josh Johnson has thrown 300 yards more recently than Rodgers has.
And I'm looking at that season, and I'm trying to remember some parts of it, which was 2022, the week before that. So they lose against Detroit at home with a chance to make to the playoffs. The week before, they smoke the Vikings, and that was the Vikings. That was the Vikings. Paper Tiger season. They came here, remember that win? They won like 12 games that year, or 13 games, and all of them were within one score. It was it was not sustainable. That game, the Packers smoked the Vikings 41-17. You're thinking, wow, the offense probably had a day. Rodgers was 15 to 24 for 159 and a score. Aaron Jones went 14 for 111. A.J. Dillon went 12 for 41 and a score. And they had like two defensive touchdowns, I think, in that game.
Okay.
Or they had like a return touchdown in the game. Kirk Cousins had three picks. It was not a good game for Kirk Cousins that week. And I'm trying to just like go back to the end of that season where, because I think that's where Aaron Rodgers was probably not as injured, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe this is an actual time to fairly judge him. Then the week before that, this is where the Dolphins are 8-6. They're reeling, need a win.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bad Tua game. This is Tua throwing three interceptions. He goes for 310, one touchdown, three picks, and like they were bad picks to the Packers on defense. Rodgers, 24-38, 238, score, touchdown, or a touchdown interception. So like you go into all these games that they're winning towards the end of last season, Rodgers was a very little piece of these.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask you this. Isn't that exactly what the Jets might, not necessarily want, but can have and then win with?
I agree, but they could. They could win that way. That's not what everybody's thinking he is, though.
That's right.
That is, what you're describing to me almost sounds like who their backup quarterback is. Do they want him playing Tyrod Taylor football? Throwing for 200 yards a game and not turning the football over? And just kind of, doesn't that kind of sound like a game manager to you?
Yes.
And that is not what the Jets are hoping. Listen, that could get you to the playoffs, I think, playing that way. If Rodgers were that level, that's not getting you to the Super Bowl.
No, I agree with that.
I don't even think that's winning you the AFC East. Maybe you'll be in competition for it, but I just wonder if everyone's about to get smacked in the face with a hard dose of reality about quarterbacks and aging. Maybe Rodgers will be the first big reminder of how quarterbacks usually age, how quarterbacks actually age, and not the distorted view that football fans might have right now because we just witnessed Tom Brady. We just watched Brady play till 45 and really not ever hit the cliff. Like his last year with the Bucs, he leads the league in passing. Actually, his second to last year, he led the league in passing. But his last year with the Bucs, he had 4,700 yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 picks. I mean, Brady, the wheels never really fell off. And that needs to be said, it's not normal. It's not normal what Brady did. Roethlisberger got to a point where he was totally a shell of himself. Breeze couldn't throw the football anymore. Eli couldn't throw the football anymore at some point in time. Rivers. I mean, Peyton Manning with Denver. Peyton Manning, it happened in a flash. Like, there was no steady decline for Peyton Manning. He was an MVP-level quarterback, and then, boom, you woke up one day, and that couldn't dude couldn't throw the football anymore.
Couldn't throw the football.
And Rodgers hasn't done it in 2 years, and the last time he did it, it was pretty pedestrian. So I'm want to predict he's going to be that reminder for everybody of, oh yeah, this is what 41-year-old quarterbacks usually look like. Not what we just saw from Tom Brady. What Tom Brady did is not normal. It had never happened in the league since at least like the 50s or the 60s or whenever the heck George Blanda played. 803-0550 is the phone number. What level should we expect in the division from Rodgers this year? I'm just not expecting a super high level of quarterback play from him. He finishes 92nd in the NFL top 100 list, four spots ahead of Deion Dawkins. I want to talk about how the Bills are going to line up at the beginning of the season a little bit today. Joe Brady. I was diving in on Joe Brady's Carolina days a little bit more again in the last couple, and the more I look at his Carolina days, the more it looks different from how the Bills finished last season, which has me very confused about what Joe Brady's going to be this season. We'll have Aaron Schatz a little bit later on at 9 o'clock as well. I want to get in on, they're showing on ESPN right now, LeBron turning back the clock yesterday for Team USA in one of their pre-Olympic games. I got a word on that to get to as well. Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. Training camp starts tomorrow. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.